Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
For what?
For using. For using?
What are you going to turn into a pillow quilt?
Shirts.
What shirt? What are you talking about?
You can take shirts and you can cut them up and you quilt them together and stuff them in their pillow.
That sounds like some Etsy-ass bullshit.
I mean, yeah, I mean, lots of people make money doing stuff like that, so sure.
I love Etsy, it's like Etsy's definitely the black and white cookie of the internet world.
That would not be a cost-effective method, by the way. If you were doing a bunch of like the shirt of the day shirts, you would definitely lose money if you tried to make profit on it. Like, those shirts are $10 each, so if it takes you 6 shirts, you're going to go, it's like, $120 for this pillow. Someone might buy it.
I mean, like, the idea of Etsy, like, there's, like, a lot of cool shit on Etsy. But
some great stuff on Etsy.
But most of the time, you end up just eating salad out of a mason jar that your wife made. That's what you usually end up
with. That's Pinterest.
Oh, whatever. It's all fucking the same.
It's not. Etsy's a store. Pinterest is the crafts idea.
Well, then you end up with, like, mason jar, like, wine glasses. How about that?
Hand-painted mason jars.
Yeah. Yeah, some bullshit like that. Like, you sometimes get really cool shit. You're like, oh, that's really neat. I really wanted a Super Mario hat that also turns into a helicopter. I don't fucking know. Super Mario beanie. And then at the same time, you're just like, ugh, this is bullshit. Some bullshit thing that my wife wants me to make now. Because it's on Etsy. That means you can make it. I'm like, no, that doesn't mean I can make it. No. All right, I'll make it.
Looks like we made it. Yeah, I've never had that. I've never had that issue.
Yeah. Yeah. But you do have a King Solomon sword. So.
A great sword.
A great sword. It's a great sword.
It's a great sword.
It's not just a good sword. It's a great sword.
It's a great sword.
It's not a bastard.
It's better than good. It's great.
It's great. Oh, God.
I actually think it's probably closer to a bastard sword than a hand and a half sword.
Is that what you got? Oh, okay. Is that what you got Nikki for Christmas? Is that her Christmas gift?
I mean, sure.
Yeah, why not? Sure. What'd you get for Christmas? Anything good?
I got Fallout Monopoly. I mean, I wanted it. I asked for it.
Did you have you played it yet?
No, it isn't. It is still mint in box.
Oh, okay. So, no flipping the table, and the game goes 6 hours long.
That is mind-boggling to me. Monopoly is not a slow game. There's no way if you play with the actual rules that it should take that long ever.
I don't know.
That is impossible.
My mic keeps going limp. I'm sorry if you hear that noise. It's the conversation about Monopoly just lost its mic boner.
I mean, you can blame your MD on whatever you want.
I like how Nikki gets a sword and you get Monopoly.
Well, I mean, that's just what I asked for. So
yeah, it's and did she ask for the sword?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, there you go. So the I was finding it funny because I actually had people over for like a game night over the Christmas holidays. And they were all like, oh, you have swords up on the wall. I'm like, I'm a nerd. Of course I have swords. Every nerd has swords.
It's true.
At some point in their life. But I was asking if it's battle ready, but it is not battle ready. So you cannot fight off the hordes of Mongols with it.
I mean, I could. It would just take a lot more work than normal.
You're sitting there with like your kitchen knife sharpener. Yeah. You're like going over and over and over and
sharpen
over
this thing now.
You're like Aragorn in Lord of the Rings, just sharpening your sword, singing about Beren and Luthien. Mm. Oh, yeah. How are you fucking singing that? I don't know.
you should have just went for the easy. I didn't really ask for anything because I don't, you know, the holidays are like, I'm at the age where I'm sure you are, where if I want something, I just buy it.
Pretty much.
It's like, oh, what do you want? It's like, well, I already have Fallout 4, and that's something I would have asked for, but I already bought it.
Yeah.
There's no other video games around now that I want. So I was like, what is one thing that I want that I actually don't have? And I'm like, oh, there's a Fallout Monopoly. If you find that, I'll take it.
I actually just, I rebought Shadows of Mordor on Steam because it was cheap on the Steam sale. So I've been replaying Shadows of Mordor because I'm like...
Did you get the DLC?
DLC
is real good.
It's pretty good. I mean,
I haven't played the Bright Lord yet. I'm still waiting on it. I'm
playing Bright Lord right now. I already played through Lord of the Hunt.
Okay.
So.
I started playing Elder Scrolls Online, so that's what I'm doing. It's good.
So tell me, what's it like back in 2006?
Elder Scrolls Online, that game came out at the...
I just always think of, like, when I hear Elder Scrolls, I think of, like, 2000s.
You should think of way earlier than that. Elder Scrolls started in, like, the early 90s.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There's been a fuck ton of those games. Yeah, there was the first one, I think, was Daggerfall. And then, like...
Daggerfall.
They made a bunch of them.
You never want that dagger to fall, especially point down. It'll just land and kill something.
Daggerfall is a city that has lots of political intrigue. Ooh. And there's rogues as well. Murders, assassinations, crime.
Let me guess.
It's not just a clever name.
Let me guess. You have to go talk to people, and they send you on missions.
In Daggerfall? Yeah. I haven't played Daggerfall.
No.
In this, the Skyrim Oblivion, like the, mm-hmm. that formula, it works a lot better in an MMO.
Yeah.
Because like it's already kind of got on the MMO.
That's exactly
feel.
What World of Warcraft stole from.
Yeah. But this one, one of the things that's sweet about playing this one. That I didn't notice in Skyrim, like this game for an MMO anyway, like, I mean, it's just Skyrim. Like, it doesn't, the combat Skyrim, except it's more interesting than Skyrim's combat, because it has like, it actually has like AoEs on the ground and stuff and things for you to avoid and like roll and dodge and like blocking, like
dodge.
Combat is interesting.
Yeah. Unlike World of Warcraft.
Right. Where you just don't stand in the wrong spot and press your three buttons,
yeah. Oh god, there's a guy behind me, quick, move slightly over.
Yeah, because like this one's like you can do like interrupt, like every class can do an interrupt, so like if there's a mage casting a spell, you can run up to him and you can hit both shoulder buttons and your guy does like a bash. If you have a shield, do like a shield bash and it'll interrupt the spell they're casting, so like everyone can do that. Every class has a dodge. You know, everyone can block. Your block's just less effective. Like I'm playing a mage, so like I have a staff. So if I block, I take reduced damage, but it's still just a staff. So I still take, you know,
because it's a stick.
Right, it's a stick. So
versus King Solomon's sword
or a shield.
Yes.
So that's, but the thing I've been doing right now is there's a quest I just got, and like, I played the game a little bit before, but I put it down to play some other stuff. And then now that I finished my first playthrough of Fallout 4, I'm just like, I'm gonna take a break from Fallout and play a different game. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna do this MMO, and like it's real fun. Because when the game first came out on PC, I was shitting all over it because it was ass. Like it was actually bad. And by the time
I remember that.
By the time it got to PS4, they made it good. So yay, I have the advantage. Like the very few times where you wait for the console port that is superior to the PC release.
Yeah.
But the PC version's good now because it's at the same level. But the quest I'm on right now is I'm hunting a treasure down, and unlike, you know, you've played the MMO where it says like go here and it puts a thing on your map.
Yeah.
And it's like then go here or kill this, collect this. There's of course those quests in this game, because that's RPG. That's actually just an RPG staple of like games that have quests inside the quest. But in this one, I just got a quest where I'm hunting down a treasure, and the fucking prompt is like find the Southland Star. Like that's the fucking prompt, and I'm like, where the fuck is that? And like I'm looking at the map, and there's nowhere on the map, but there's a place called Southland, and I'm like going there, and I'm like fighting dudes there, and I'm like, where the fuck would a Southland Star be? I'm like, this is so weird. And I look and I see a lighthouse, and I'm like, I bet you that's the Southland Star. So I run into the lighthouse, I go up to the top, and it's like, you found the Southland Star. It's like, your next step, find the warrior. I'm like, fuck. So like, and because you have the thing that prompted the quest is a buried treasure chest, and inside the chest, ooh, instead of treasure, there was a poem. And it was this guy's like, the poem is his hints on how to get to his treasure. So if you follow the poem, if you read what it says and you follow it exactly, I'm gonna be able to find it. So I'm gonna read the poem again and find out where I need to go from the Southland Star to go find it. I thought that was pretty cool. And you can also find treasure maps in the game, and the treasure maps are they're named after an area. So like there's Daggerfalls in this game, because yeah, like each game that Elder Scrolls has is usually like one spot.
Yeah,
of
one
the
area
world.
Of the world. Yeah, Skyrim is the land of Skyrim.
Yes, there are Nords, and it's also in this game. Yeah. This game contains everything. This game contains Morrowind, Skyrim, Daggerfall. Like every.
Does it have those cat people?
Yeah, Khajiit.
Yes,
sure.
Yes, Khajiit has the wares if you have the coin.
Khajiit did nothing. You could not arrest Khajiit. The treasure.
It's cat Arabs, is essentially what they are.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Carabs.
Carab. The treasure maps are really cool. Like you can find them just randomly, and it'll have the name of where the area is, and when you use the item, it's just a picture.
Okay.
And it shows you things that are landmarks, and then it has an arrow pointing to where the treasure is. So you actually have to go in game and like see where that landmark could be, or if it's something you might have noticed, like oh, I know that fucking statue, like I know exactly where that is.
Yeah.
And you run back in, you're like, there's the statue, and you look at the map, and you're like, okay, so if I go this way and I find it points to another landmark, and you're like, oh, here, you can just look around and there'll be a little prompt like, find it, and you can dig up the treasure, and you're like, oh fuck, sweet treasure.
Can you buy a new spade to help dig up your treasure?
There's no like crafting material items required.
Thank God.
There's ingredients, but there's no like tools. So like, for example, I was running around and I found an iron ore deposit thing, and I was like, I guess I'll just hit X, and like my dude just whips out a mining pick and just fucking does it. I'm like, okay, sweet.
I really hate crafting systems in games. It's like my new bane.
I like crafting systems. I don't like the add-on stuff for crafting systems. Like in I'll just use Warcraft because most people have played it. There's multiple things that suck about Warcraft's crafting system. One, you need to have an item or more than one item that specifically takes up space in your inventory to perform the crafting.
Yes.
And gathering is really bad too. Like, if I'm a miner, I need to carry an axe, and they can break. So you need to get more axes, or pickaxes.
Yeah.
They can break, you need to get more. and then the nodes, like, you have to be at a certain level of gathering to mine the node. It's like, oh yeah, sorry, that's titanium ore. You need to gain, like, 100 more skill points in your gathering to gain... So in Elder Scrolls, so far, I guess I'm only level, like, 7, so I'm not super deep. But so far, if I find a thing I can collect, I just push the button and it gives it to me.
Push button, get treat.
Yeah, push button, get thing. And then, because everything's skills, just like in Skyrim, if you want to, you can invest your skill points into collecting. So, like, if I wanted to do a lot more mining, I could invest a skill point into mining, and it actually puts it on your map while you're running around.
But still, it's like, ugh, too much busy work for me.
Well, you don't have to do it.
That's why I like Shadows of Mordor. My only skill is killing orcs.
Well, some people like the crafting.
Oh,
stuff.
They do. I'm a big
I'm a big
you
fan.
Know what
of,
I blame Etsy people. That's
I'm a big
who
fan
I
of, I'm a big fan of cooking. I always like to do cooking in MMOs because I always find that cooking is something that is. There's always some reason that cooking is not super well. Practiced by everyone.
Yeah,
but cooking
it's
is
stupid.
But cooking is always in demand. Like in World of Warcraft, like you could get spots on guilds by just being a master chef.
Uh-huh,
like master. You could just be a master chef. You'd be like, yeah, I can make
your Gordon Ramsay dwarf.
They make feasts, and like in WoW, like the feast is your character puts it together, and then a like big pig appears, and then everyone in the raid can eat from it, and they get a buff that lasts for like 45 minutes. So it's super, but cooking is insanely tedious. And WoW, in Skyrim, it's not. It's just like cooking in like, that's the thing. Everything in this game is just like Skyrim. So if you like Skyrim, and if you like the way crafting works in Skyrim, and if you like the way leveling works in Skyrim, you will like this game.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like about Skyrim was the fact that there's like no linear plot to it, and that was what kind of bothered me.
This game actually has a super linear plot.
Yeah,
it's got a super linear plot with a bunch of other quests.
Yeah.
So and thus far, the way the main quest has worked has been really cool because I did the main quest, and then like there's a character who's like, well, I need to do this thing. So while you're in town, you know, take care of whatever you need to take care of, and I'll contact you when we need to go again. So I hit level 5, and then the character just like shows up and he's like, hey, I'm done with the thing now. I need you to come help me. So like this one, for now at least, it seems like the main plot pops back up
periodically
to like bring you back into the main story, and it's sensical, unlike in Skyrim or those other games where it's like you have to do this grandiose thing and you're just like wandering about most of the time. You're like, I'm making daggers. This one, the story comes back to you, so I like that, and that's a cool idea on how to like give players freedom but keep the story moving at a good pace where you just have. And I think you can actually rip that for if you were doing a big D&D campaign. You could easily have like a main story and then let your players dick around by making the main story come to them instead of the other way around.
No, I completely agree. That's a good way of doing it, especially if you're writing your own. Because if you just do the main story, it's going to get boring.
Right. And that, and the other thing too is if you're doing a D&D campaign because you have a story you really want to tell, you should just write the book.
Yeah.
just write the book.
Write the screenplay.
Yeah, so write the screenplay.
You could have the World of Warcraft movie with the guy from Vikings.
That movie actually looks like it's going to be pretty entertaining.
It does. I mean, I know people who are like, this looks dumb. I'm like, it looks a lot like World of Warcraft. I'm not gonna argue.
It looks like it's gonna be entertaining. I'm down.
I love the guy from Vikings. Do you watch that show?
Everyone's recommending I watch it. I haven't seen it yet. I'm not against it. I just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time this Christmas break, like, really catching up on a lot of TV, and I kind of blasted through all three seasons of Vikings. It's pretty good, with the exception that, like, every season is like, oh, who's betraying Hrothgar this season? You know,
that's kind of annoying.
Oh, it gets really annoying. And Donald Logue shows up, and if anybody listens to Comic Book Logic, they know my disdain for Donald Logue.
I don't even know who that is.
When you see him, you're like, oh, that's that guy.
The guy. He's one of those guys.
He's
like the Kurgan.
Like the Kurgan.
Like every time he shows up, you're like, oh, it's the Kurgan.
He's gonna hold his neck together. He's kind of like the henchman vampire in Blade, and that's how a lot of people know him.
Okay.
So, and that's how, like, we got on the topic on Comic Book Logic, because I'm like, goddamn, Donald Logue's in this
movie.
Yeah,
you know, I'm super bad with actors and stuff, like that, like remembering names, like directors and like actors and dudes who do the score. Usually I'm really bad at that. I'm more invested into the, like, the fictional side of
things. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, I do have certain actors that I really, really enjoy.
Sure.
So.
I mean, and obviously there's, like, names everyone remembers, but, you know, like, there's people who, like, know, you know, they'll watch a movie,
like Cliff Secord from The Rocketeer.
See? I didn't really like The Rocketeer, no, so.
Oh, how can you not like The Rocketeer?
I don't like The Rocketeer because The Rocketeer
is... It's pure childhood for me.
The Rocketeer is a very disappointing movie.
It is.
Everything you want to happen in the movie doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, there's no Rocketeer flying around versus other jetpack Nazi battles. Like, because I watched King of the Rocket Men because my dad would have me watch. Like, I grew up watching serials.
Yeah.
And, like, I grew up watching weird, like, my childhood growing up, minus, like, what I saw on, you know, TV, like cartoons.
WGN rain delays.
Did you say WGN rain delay? I don't even know.
That's where you'd watch, like, most of the crazy movies, because whenever there would be a Cubs game rain delay, they'd always put on, like, all right, so we're going to put on House 2. I'd be like, okay, time to watch House 2. All right. Hey, is that Bill Maher?
I was never into sports, even as a young person.
That's when you only had, like, six channels and you flip through and you'd be like, whoa, rain delay. That means there's going to be a crazy movie on Channel 9.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
See, my cartoon watching was relegated entirely to after school and Saturday morning. I didn't really.
I always watch it in, like, the early morning, like before school. That's when they'd always show, like, G.I. Joe and Transformers.
Oh, you know what? And before school, I forgot. There's before school.
The Bozo Show, so you could watch the buckets.
Yeah, but after a certain amount of time, and then during the weekends, I didn't watch TV. I just played games or video games or whatever. So, like, I didn't watch, like, a shit ton of, like, I watched a lot of cartoons. That was pretty much all I watched, like, cartoons. That's it.
Yeah. No, I get it.
So, but I watched a ton of, like, weird serials and, like, old movies. Like, I saw the movie Alien before I saw Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So my first real sci-fi love has been always Alien.
Have you so do you want to talk about your Star Wars, about your, how you hate J.J. Abrams now?
Okay, so Star Wars is there's a
we'll keep this brief because we spent a lot of time on Star Wars lately.
There's a we didn't spend a lot of time on Star Wars lately.
We spent three podcasts on Star Wars.
So whatever the Star Wars is talking about anyway. So everyone wants to hear. We got to pander. Yeah. We got
to
pander.
Pander to the crowd.
So it's an emotional roller coaster, the new Star Wars movie.
It's an emotional roller coaster.
Like, so I really wanted to hate it.
Yes.
I really, 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 really wanted to hate it. Unfortunately, I can't say that I hate it.
Yeah.
I can say that the villains were fucking atrocious.
Yeah.
Kylo Ren is hot ass. I burst out into laughter when Kylo Ren took his helmet off in that movie. He's a terrible villain. Everything about him fucking sucks. He has Like, he goes from being kind of interesting at the very beginning, the first scene where he's, like, kind of intimidating and he stops that plasma bolt without even looking.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, that guy seems like he means business. And then as soon as he takes his cloak off, you're like, oh, well, that guy's really, like, skinny and kind of weird looking, and his helmet kind of looks like a dick. And then
his helmet does kind of look like
a
dick.
And then he takes his helmet off, and it's like, it's over. And then his character is fucking terrible. The actor did his job. He didn't act badly, but the decisions that they chose for that character, every one of them is awful. Like, every scene he's in from that, like, first scene, he gets worse and worse. Like, I fucking hate him. He's a terrible, terrible character who could have been great.
Yeah,
he's just a drop ball.
I mean, I won't go as vehement as you. I thought his character was interesting, and I think that a lot of the decisions they made set up, and that was my big problem. You know, Kevin and I had like a huge discussion about this, the guy I do Comic Book Logic with, and we were contemplating putting it online, but we're like, nah, you know, we just sat and we talked about it. We went and saw Hateful Eight, and we got there about 2 hours early, so we had a lot of time to talk about stuff. We were talking about it, and one of my big problems, like, we both like, yeah, it's a solid B movie. It's like a solid B.
I gave it a C.
Yeah.
Like, and my if we're doing the grades, I gave it a C.
Yeah.
Because the heroes were very entertaining.
Oh, I loved
Finn was great.
Yeah.
Finn, the reason Finn is an awesome character, like, the way Finn worked in that movie, his story made no sense. It was completely out of control. Like, what the hell? But his acting and the way his character did his lines, awesome. And he does the rarest and coolest thing any character in fiction can do. He makes other characters even better,
yeah,
when they play off each other. Every character in that movie who has any interaction with Finn is better for it.
Yeah.
Well, except for fucking Phasma.
Oh, Phasma.
What the... Dude, it's like super Boba Fett. It's like they built... like that's the only thing I really knew going into that movie. Like, I was actually... Yeah. If I was excited about something, I would be like, I really like Gwendolyn Christie. Phasma does look really cool. I can't wait to see what Captain Phasma does in this film. And the answer is goddamn fucking nothing. Two lines. That was like a huge blowout. I was like, this is fucking awful. Like, that was terrible.
Well,
again,
let me, villains, bad. But let me get part of the thing was that my biggest problem with the movie was that it was too much set up. Like, oh, this is going to be a trilogy. You know, like, this is just the first part of a trilogy, which I'm like, it doesn't have to be that. But why can't it just be a story? With a beginning and an end, and most of the plot lines resolved.
And here's the problem with that: if they intended it to be a setup picture, which it clearly is.
Oh, absolutely.
Why is everything in that movie so fucking rushed?
Yeah. Oh my god. It's like the plot just keeps going and going and going. Now, granted, this is like these are not minor quibbles, but these are just quibbles. Like, I enjoyed the movie overall, but the movie just moves and moves and moves. Like, I would like. Slow down. Like, my favorite parts of that movie are the parts where it just kind of stops for a little bit and just has some, like, small interaction. Like, I love the beginning with Rey when she's on the planet and mm-hmm. she's just, like, going to the... Like, you see what she does. Like, you see her daily struggle. Yeah. I like that. I was like, this makes the character interesting.
Yeah,
same thing
cool.
kind of with Finn in a lot of ways. Like, yeah, the beginning part where, you know, he's the massacre and everything, and you could see he's going through.
But it's so weird. Like, I thought Finn was not buyable. I didn't buy his motivations at all because it seemed so. It was just too weird. Like, I didn't buy it. But I liked Finn as a character, like, overall. Yeah. But his, like, background and the motivation stuff, I didn't. Yeah. I like Poe.
Oh, Poe Dameron's like the best character in the entire series now.
Poe's pretty awesome. Like, he's just and him and Finn's bromance also sweet.
Yeah, it's
like,
great.
I love that when Poe they see him, he's like Finn sees him and like Poe sees BB-8. He just like runs over and like he's like hugging BB-8. And I'm like, all right, BB-8 is awesome.
Yeah, so there you go. But I mean, it's like, yeah, I get it. But my thing was just don't
slow down.
We don't have to. Well, my bigger problem was like, we don't have to have this be this big setup. A New Hope was not a setup for a trilogy. It was one story.
It was a movie. Yeah.
This could have just been a movie, and we could have set up all these characters in this movie, and then maybe like the next one we can, like, there could be like this overarching plot, like with Snoke and everything else or whatever have you.
Darth Snooki.
Where we could have just dealt with that a little bit later. I mean, like, it could just be something that hovers over the entire series.
Too much of the movie was too fast, and they ripped too much from A New Hope to have that as an excuse. Like, there's just... The movie's it's a remake of A New Hope. Essentially. It's like a,
yeah. I mean, a little bit, yeah.
Like, I mean, there's like, it's not scene for scene. Like, characters are different. Like, they don't, you know, but there's a lot of, like, it starts on fucking Tatooine. Yeah, it's not Tatooine. It's fucking Tatooine. Then it goes to Endor, and then it ends on Hoth, the Hoth Star.
Yeah, the Hoth Star.
Yeah.
I mean, I
don't, because there's so many stories they could have riffed from and just, like, went off of. Why would you go with A New Hope? Like, and people are saying that's not fair. Like, they're like, well, so what? It's not a, it's like, that's a legitimate critique of a film. Like, if it's a almost, you know, it's pacing is totally different, but it's the same thing. It's like, hey, there's a rebellion for some reason, and then there's an empire again, and we have to destroy their super weapon. And oh, how are we gonna destroy the super weapon? I don't know. Just, you know,
throw X-wings at it.
We'll just shoot it. It'll blow up. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I mean, I did have problems. I was a little more. I'm a little more forgiving than you, just because I was by that point. By the point where they got to, like, where it's just apes A New Hope, where it's like, oh, it's an X-wing assault against the Death Star. By that point, I was already like, I'm already sold on this movie. I don't really care at this point. Yeah, it's fine. It's like, oh yeah, guess what? They're gonna blow it up. Yay! And luckily, it wasn't like Finn hopping in an X-wing just like out of nowhere. Like, they get Luke, they're like, all right, we're just gonna give you an X-wing, you could go ahead and fly, no problem.
They saved that moment for Rey versus Kylo Ren, because Rey is inexplicably awesome. Well, which is funny, because there's a line where Finn goes to Han, and this is a line that got a lot of laughs, I'm sure people laughed at it. He goes like, we'll use the Force.
Yeah,
and
he's Han's like, that's not how it works. No, you have to say it. That's not how the Force works.
And then immediately after that, when Rey is fighting Kylo Ren, that's exactly how the Force works.
Pretty much. I feel, but that's, once again, it's like one of those things where it's like, how the hell is she so good with this? I'm like, this is just set up for the rest of the series. They're not, like, trying to make this a self-contained story.
But see, I mean, they can retcon any holes they left.
Yeah.
And they're gonna.
Yeah.
But that's a problem. I think that's lazy. I think, like...
Oh, I completely agree. That's kind of lazy,
Because, yes, you can... this is one of the reasons I hate retconning, because I feel that retconning is actually just, for most cases, a bastion for people who are just lazy writers.
I don't think it's going to be retconning, but it's. I think what they did was.
I don't know a better term to use, like, error correcting, or just say error correction.
I don't even think it's error correction. I think my big problem is that it's not a self-contained movie,
mm-hmm.
and that they're like, yeah, well, we don't have to go into this because we're going to go into this in Star Wars 8.
Yeah, see, that's yeah. a problem.
And I agree completely. I think that they need to just self. But that's why I kind of like the idea of what they're doing. The next one's Rogue One, where it's all about stealing the Death Star plans.
All I gotta say is, if Kyle Katarn is not in that movie,
he's not
boycott.
Gonna be. What? Boycott. Kyle Katarn is bullshit. He was a bullshit character in the expanded universe.
Kyle Katarn, the star of Dark Forces. Thank you. He was critical. That was the reason he was involved in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because he and the Bothans, he got the Death Star information and delivered it. Like,
yeah.
Kyle Katarn better be fucking in there.
Why? Oh my god. It's like, okay,
he doesn't need to be a main character. I just want someone to be like, this is Kyle Katarn, he has information, and like, the dude hands it off. That's
no.
all I want.
What? No, I'm glad
they're gonna be a bunch of Bothans.
I'm glad they got rid of all the expanded universe bullshit, because I guess what? You know, I went back and reread Heir to the Empire, and I'm like, oh, this book isn't really that good.
No, the Thrawn trilogy?
Oh, God.
It is. You know why people remember the Thrawn trilogy fondly? Because it was the first, and everyone was very excited for it.
And it wasn't bad when it was written, but now that I'm rereading it, I'm like, well, and it's also bad that it wasn't, because I read it when I was like 12.
Right, exactly.
I had fond memories when I was 12. Right. And I'm like,
there's a lot of things you can go back and ruin for yourself.
It's bad.
And the Thrawn trilogy is one of those things.
I have a feeling people are going to really give me shit over that. They're like, no, the Thrawn trilogy is awesome. No, it's not really.
I got your
good.
Back on this one.
Yeah.
Plus it's Star Wars. I mean, I still don't like Star Wars.
Yeah. I'm glad that you actually watched it and that you're like, okay, I see that it's not awful.
Much to my chagrin.
Yeah, much to your chagrin.
So yes, I will forever hate J.J. Abrams for that. Yeah. However, this has opened up a whole new world for me, because Star Wars fans are back to being glass-skinned babies.
Oh, they really are.
So now I can easily troll people by just telling them that the movie that they really liked is stupid. And they'll hear some of my points, and whether or not they'll openly agree with them, they'll be like, fuck, he's right. And then they'll have to defend it with tears in their eyes. And that's, you know, that's a gift.
I had like a, I still haven't, I've seen it three times now already, and I'm probably gonna end up seeing it a fourth, But the I still don't know where I place it in like the my rate ranking system, because out of the four movies, it's like it's gonna be somewhere between, like, I can't really say if I A New Hope or if it's better than A New Hope, if it's not as good as A New
Empire Hope.
Hope,
this one, Jedi.
Yeah, kind of.
And then the prequels are all in like a poop pile together.
There's no, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sorry. They're canon. They were not rewritten.
I don't know anything about these prequels. There's more Star Wars movies?
No.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you know what?
From my point of view, the Jedi are evil.
There was a I saw some of that. Have you seen that Darth Jar Jar fan theory?
Yeah.
You know what the best thing to do to respond to that is? Just get the clip of Jar Jar looking at the thing's asshole and it farting in his face from the first movie, and just link him that clip. Just be like, there's your Sith Lord. He's getting his, something is farting directly into his fucking face.
Yeah, the biggest fallacy with that theory is the fact that you believe George Lucas had any forethought into...
I've got a new George Lucas thing instead of the power of myth.
Yeah. White slavery?
No, my new one is they're friends.
They're friends? Oh, yeah, from the Dark Forces thing.
The Darth Maul game.
Yeah, the Darth Maul game.
Where he pushes Darth Talon Darth Maul together, and he just goes... They're friends. Like, but George, they're 200 years apart in the Star Wars storyline. That's okay. Just make Darth Maul a clone. Actual George Lucas quotes.
Yeah,
if you were excited about a Star Wars game and it didn't release, I can almost guarantee that it's George Lucas's fault that it didn't come out. Well, like, they were doing a game about a sweet-ass custom character, made-up character for Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
And it was called 1313. I'm sure people heard of it. And they're going to say, that's the Boba Fett game. And it only became the Boba Fett game because George Lucas was like, you should make this game about Boba Fett. So when they first debuted it, everyone thought it was going to be this big like secret reveal, because all of the footage they showed didn't have Boba Fett in it. It's because all of the animations and everything they did for the character was with their original character, not Boba Fett. And they didn't have time to reskin or do a Boba Fett character model in time for that E3. So Lucas tanked that game.
Oh yeah, but now it's okay because he sold his children to white slavery. Did you see that?
No.
That was his latest. He was on Charlie Rose, and Charlie Rose was talking with him about the new movies and everything like that, and he was talking about it's really hard. It was like selling my children into white slavery.
Wow.
He was like, no, I was like selling my children into white slavery. I was just like, whoa, George.
They're friends.
Nah, whatever. So, I mean, there you go. That will be the end of our Star Wars talk until probably Rogue One comes out or whatever. Rogue One? Yeah. Because that one looks good. And by the way, Hateful Eight was pretty good. Not the best Tarantino movie. Not the worst. It's like dead center of the pack, maybe on a little bit on the lower end, but it's still a real fun movie. I don't know if you saw it yet.
I have not.
Because I know your dad sold Tarantino all the 70mm movies. Did he sell him the cameras or the projectors?
All the equipment. It's all the equipment for the stuff in Chicago.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that was...
So,
if
you watch it at the Music Box or anywhere local, you were probably watching on something that I have touched.
Yeah.
There you go. We have a connection.
The funny thing was, it didn't even really need to be on 70mm print. It was like... It all takes place in one room, which I enjoy because it kind of felt like you were all in one room with them. The 70 mil kind of gave this enclosed feeling like you were in the room. But I was like, it didn't absolutely need this. Yeah. But anyway, we spent a half hour talking about anything but gaming. So, well, we talked about...
butt gaming.
Butt gaming. Speaking of...
Hey, I did have that shoehorned like D&D reference.
Yeah,
you
did earlier.
With Elder Scrolls.
There was a comment on the YouTube page where a person was like, how do you guys only have 100 subscribers on YouTube? we don't really talk about like what we're supposed to talk about.
We don't have boobers.
We don't have
sweet tittens.
No. No,
because we could just do a video cam of our boobs. And then we just get a bunch of horny boys subscribed.
So let's talk about the big news. It's a re-release. Something that hasn't been out in a long time. The Changeling 20th Anniversary Edition RPG.
Finally.
So you could play as the magical fairies.
Changeling is the weirdest of all of the White Wolf games.
Hold on just a second. All right. So Changeling. Sorry about that. I had to go pee-pees. Steve's eating a donut kind of like a duck right now.
Delicious.
So yeah, we're at the Changeling 20th Anniversary Edition. White Wolf. White Wolf's coming back, man. And now you get to be a fairy. Or it's like an elf, right? Or like an elf fairy or magic spirit sprite.
Ireland.
Ireland. Ah, we get to be the Irish.
So it's like the fairy folk, sprites, leprechaun.
I get to be a leprechaun.
Weird shit.
Oh, do we have any listeners in Ireland? Am I doing it right? No.
You know what? You kind of had it, but you're not. Harry, you're not going to You also didn't mention potatoes enough.
It's so potatoes. I always, my Irish.
Potato man.
My Irish accent's always based off of Tom Cruise in the movie Far and Away.
That movie's fucking awful.
It's so bad. But I would just, Elizabeth, we're going to go out to America and we're going to start up a farm. Or Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future Part 3.
I had to watch that movie in school, Far and Away.
That's a terrible movie.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, that's It's like I get vampire back in 1998. I get werewolf. Changeling. Do we really need Changeling?
Yeah, Changeling is the weirdest of all of the White Wolf
games.
What
was the one where was it Hunter? Was the one where you play the people who hunt?
Hunter is you play as humans.
Yes, that's
and you fight all of the supernatural.
That was
shit
the one that looked kind of cool to me.
I liked Hunter the most of all the White Wolf games because the problem I have with like vampire and werewolf and all that stuff is like it's so
the political intrigue.
It's not even I think
are werewolves debating politics?
Werewolves don't debate politics. Werewolves is the combat game.
Yeah,
but it's still like it's just weird. Like vampire seems like a really great game you could play over email. Because
through correspondence,
right? Because vampire,
you get your big quill, like dip.
Really? Because vampire, when you're sitting around the table, and like you're playing creatures that are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old, and time is basically irrelevant to them.
Dear Calthrax,
there's no way.
It is a dark time for the Nosferatu.
There's no way to,
which is good for us because we like the dark.
Like, it's really hard to run that game, and it's really hard to play that game, but like correctly, like the way it, like the correct, like the flavor of that game. Because if I'm playing
that
a
flavor,
fucking, if I'm
blood.
Playing a, I'm playing a 500-year-old vampire, right?
Yes.
Time is meaningless to me. So I'll just be
what
like,
is time? It is meaningless.
Yeah. So I'll just if I can create a corporate takeover that in game time is going to take 40 years.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the tangible reward for me as a player unless we're going to be shooting forward in time
decades and decades?
That's Pentex. That's not a vampire. That's a product of the worm.
Okay. Sorry.
Let's meet the waffle taco. Sir, it's testing so well.
Every once in a while I see the waffle taco and it makes me laugh.
The Pentex executive with the waffle taco. Yeah, it's good. So like vampire is like super hard to, because the best way that you could really do vampire is if you're like to stay like to have the flavor correctly and make it easy to role play and run is you do caitiffs, which are like unclanned vampires, or you do like super young vampires. Like you guys were made vampires like 2 months ago.
You guys were made vampires back in 1998. It is you have to fight Wesley Snipes.
Sure, whatever. I mean, that's fine because I mean that gives people like because the instincts and the actions of people in like an RPG will generally align better with a younger vampire because like there's someone who now has a huge rush of power. They're like, holy fuck, dude, look at the things you can do. They're not, you know, the other vampires are ancient and they don't do anything because they can one of like just mechanically your blood pool, which is like you drink blood, you get points added to your blood pool and you spend that to use your abilities. The older you get as a vampire, the deeper your blood pool gets. So the less often you need to feed and your abilities generally start costing less blood. So if you're a super old vampire, you need to feed on a human like once every like other year, unless you have a huge fight and then you need to feed on people. But for the most part, you become lethargic, like you just sit around, like and you become
like Pearl from Blade.
Yeah, you throw your puppet strings out. You throw your puppet strings out and you know you try and manipulate things from behind the scenes. And like that's cool. That's a very awesome, like it's cool to play that kind of like shadow game, but it's fucking boring.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. You're describing this to me and I'm like, I have to come up with some way of making this interesting
No way to make it interesting.
By the way, we rewatched the Blade trilogy for Comic Book Logic.
Yeah.
We did at least the first one. I've rewatched the second and third one just because I was like, why not?
I've never seen the third one.
It's not really that great.
I like the second one, and the first one is okay.
The third one has its moments, but once again, it's not
that's
like...
That's got Deadpool in it, right?
Yeah, it's got Deadpool. His first of his comic book characters. But the I got to say that definitely the best character out of all of them is Pearl. So and they kill her.
Vacuum. Yeah.
Someone's vacuuming upstairs.
Yeah. Our new upstairs neighbors are nightmares.
Are they Armenian?
There's lots of them.
Oh, so they're Armenian is what you're saying. We can make fun of the Armenians on this podcast.
I don't even know what an Armenian. Are they from Armenia?
Yes. Small country.
Yeah, no, they're awful.
Yeah. All right. That works.
They're bad.
As James Brandt said, we're allowed to have a lot of white on white racism on this podcast, so
it's expected.
Yes, it's expected.
But with werewolf, it's a little more sensical because werewolf, you're in a pack and there's a pack leader who's not a player character who's like, yo, bitches, you guys need to do this. And like,
it's Jason Momoa, isn't it? It's always Jason Momoa.
It could be Jason Momoa, I guess.
Jason Momoa is always the werewolf pack leader.
So there's like, you know, there's a little bit more direction, and werewolves live a normal lifespan or like slightly longer than people. So you don't have that like Machiavellian, yeah, you know, like I'm going to sit at this computer for 30 years and type out this code, you know, because that's the thing, too. Like when you think about like what player characters can do or like what they want to do versus, you know, like if I played a Nosferatu who was totally invested into like science and tech and stuff, I could like as one of my completely reasonable actions, I could be like, I'm going to expend my money, my resources to keep up to date with tech. I'm going to use my science and I'm going to sit in my underground fortress and I'm going to write out a piece of code that does insert this. And as the DM, you can't be like, you're going to get fatigued. You need to go out and eat, you know, so like there's so many things you need to do. There's nothing you can do to stop the player's action and make it not just like, I'm the DM, I don't want you to do that.
Yeah.
Because they're infinite. They're fucking immortal. So, but most people who played vampire, that never really came up because most people, they're just like, I'm going to kill that guy. Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
Is there a hot chick there? Yes. I'm going to drink her blood.
Drink her blood. No, actually so you can go ahead on Kickstarter and I think it's already at like over 5,000%.
Yeah, Changeling I never played. So I couldn't give a, I'm sorry. I couldn't
548%.
I'm sorry. I couldn't get deep in on Changeling because I played every other werewolf game except for Changeling.
Did you play Mummy?
Yeah, I played Mummy.
Mummy.
Mummy was cool.
Mummy the Rappening.
Mummy was cool because you played as a reincarnated pharaohs and shit.
You just played it as mummies alive.
Well, I mean, they're coming from the Frisco Bay. They're gonna save the world today. The mummies alive.
No, that's a throwback.
I played as a boxer and
a boxing mummy.
Well, because you play as a, you know, there's a whole way to build your character to pass on like the legacy traits of your ancestor. It's pretty cool, but I freaked out during a boxing match and like powered up and like punched the head off a dude. And
you don't watch the WB shows. You don't watch like Flash or Arrow or anything like that.
No,
because they just introduced Hawkman and Hawkgirl, and they have that, you know, where they relive their past lives and starts off with them in ancient Egypt, and you see like this, the most incredibly white people ever in ancient Egypt, like more than gods of Egypt or whatever the movie is called, like these two incredibly white people like oh, we're in love.
Who's directing it? Ridley Scott.
No, who's directing that?
No, Ridley Scott directed the other movie where all of the people who shouldn't be white were white.
Yeah. That was the Moses one, right?
Yeah.
No, this is the
This one's the one with the CG shit. Yeah. Like the alien stuff.
I can't remember who's directing it, though. I don't know. It's some...
God, I thought it looked like a pretty decent action movie.
It looks silly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, most action movies are.
No, the... Actually,
There are very few movies... There are very few action movies that are diehard. And the sooner you can be an action movie fan and realize that there are not many movies like Die Hard, you could be okay. There's a lot of movies that are ripoffs of Die Hard.
Like Die Hard 2.
Under Siege, Under Siege 2.
Don't talk bad about Under Siege. Under Siege is an amazing movie.
It's not Die Hard, but that is not a complaint about Under Siege. I like both Under Sieges. In the train one as well.
And Under Siege 2, Dark Territory?
Yeah, Dark Territory, the train. But they're still Die Hard.
Yeah.
You know, except Steven Seagal is the thing that made Die Hard a lot cooler is that
Bruce Willis was just an everyman. I'm just here.
He's not an everyman. He's a cop. Yeah. He's a detective.
I'm just a detective. I'm Detective John McClane,
which means he is a veteran police officer. So he's not exactly an everyman, but he's not fucking Steven Seagal, who's like, I've killed 375 people with my bare hand. Neck. I kind of sound like Marlon Brando, and I don't know why.
You're gonna eat that donut? I don't get paid a lot. Yeah. Ever since I cut off my ponytail. I love Under Siege because it's one of the few times when you actually get to see Gary Busey being a good villain outside of, like, what was it, 48 Hours? Or what was the other one? He was the big one that Gary Busey was in.
I think it
was
Predator 2. He is definitely a villain.
He is a villain in Predator 2. Oh man, we need more movies with Danny Glover.
Not too old for this shit.
Yes.
Hey, Danny Glover made the first Saw pretty good.
He did. I hate that movie.
You didn't like the first Saw?
No.
I thought the first Saw was pretty all. Good.
But the actually the big game that I was talking about before we got into the tangent about Changeling, where you were like, wait a second, I have views on Changeling.
Well, mostly just White Wolf. And I talked more about Vampire than Changeling.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I know nothing about Changeling. There's going to be some fucking Changeling fan who just like rips me a new one on the Facebook.
If I had me pot of gold, hard to turn,
hard to turn.
I got me pot of potatoes. But yeah, the
if speaking of Die Hard,
what do we got? What do we got?
Merry Christmas.
Nice.
You actually did get Die Hard on Blu-ray,
yeah.
Delivered right as we were talking about Die Hard.
See,
that's very weird. I don't know how I feel about this.
Thank you, Amazon.
But the I was like, oh, the big release was Games Workshop with their new imprint, their Specialist Games re-imprinting of Specialist Games.
Blurbirl!
The game that's come out now 15 years too late.
Blurbirl!
I don't know, when was
my comment on it, you know, it was $300, limited edition.
$300?
No, I'm making this up.
Oh, okay.
$300, limited edition, 2 incomplete teams. That's the contents.
Sounds about right. Now, they're re-releasing Blood Bowl, which is not shocking because it's probably the easiest game that they could possibly release for specials games.
Mordheim would probably be easier if they didn't do the Mordheim terrain.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like you literally have to do nothing for Blood Bowl. It's a board and like 8 minis or however, but like 12 minis probably. It's ridiculous. There's nothing else you have to do with it. You're like, oh, you have to print out some cards so you know how to tackle with your orcs.
Well, the thing that's probably pretty decent for some people will probably be that they can now play Games Workshop stores again.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, but play what? There's like Games Workshop stores are all like 12x12. There's like no room in any of them.
I mean, I'm sure there's two people who could play Blood Bowl against one another.
Yeah, the only two Blood Bowl players left.
See, there you go.
The game comes out 10 years too late because after they stopped the last edition, every other gaming company on the planet releases their own sports ball game, and I was like, oh, like people are this is gonna draw people back to play Blood Bowl? No, probably not.
People buy it.
Yeah, well, people will buy anything.
Which is the only thing that Games Workshop gives a fuck about. So.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So they've already won.
My favorite is like I do troll, not troll, but I do trawl a couple specialist forums and stuff like that.
You said it right the first time.
No, I don't troll. I trawl. Like I go through them. I kind of search, and everyone's like, you think they're gonna re-release Mordheim? You think they're gonna re-release Warmaster? No. No.
Yeah, the only way they're going to redo Warmaster is, like I said, if it's a boxed game.
Yeah.
Like, they basically do Battle of the Five Armies except Warmaster.
They're not going to do that because that's not the IP anymore. That's not what they're doing. They're getting rid of all of that.
But they might re-release Battle of the Five Armies.
They might re-release Battle
I think that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, that might be... That's on the low-end possibility.
Also, how did you feel about Smaug being the number one Games Workshop model?
You know why? Because you're the only person who bought it.
Actually, Smaug is. I actually had to buy mine on eBay.
Yeah.
Which I got which is sweet because I paid a little less. I paid a little less than I would have paid at Workshop.
Yeah.
But not much less. Because
Games Workshop is highly collectible.
Smaug was fucking sold out.
Lord of the Rings is highly collectible.
Because Smaug was fucking sold out every time I tried to get it from Workshop.
Dude, do you remember when Forge World used to do the Amon Hen or whatever that train piece?
Oh yeah.
That was never in stock. It would always sell out.
Yep, people would just fucking buy it like crazy.
It was a nice piece of terrain.
Yeah, I guess like we've said before, even you know Lord of the Rings models have always been nice, like
and highly collectible.
They're extraordinarily collectible. But
When I had some people over for the game night, they got to see, like, you've seen my insane collection of nonsense, like all of my stuff.
And you're garbage.
You only saw like a quarter of it because most of it was underneath my in my crawl space in big boxes. So Tim Lyson goes, oh, what's these figures? I go, oh, those are Clan War figures. And they're like painting my case. He goes, oh, do you have any extra for, you know, just so I can, you know, pick a few out? I'm like, sure. So I go into my crawl space and I pull out 8 totes worth of Clan War. He's like, I don't even know what to go through with this stuff. And I He's like, what about your Lord of the Rings stuff? And I pull out my three totes worth of Lord of the Rings stuff. So I did go through them, and I found that I did have some medals that probably will go for quite a few amount of money.
Let me know. I'll let you know if they're rare ones. Because there's medals that go for a lot, and then there's some that are like average.
The ones that I saw that go for a decent amount are the Men of Gondor, but they're not the Men of Gondor. They're the
oh, the Fountain Guard or whatever?
No. They're like... They have the seer guy though, and the king.
The Dol Amroth Knights?
No, they look more like veterans. They have like this like band around their top of their heads.
The Osgiliath veterans.
No, they're not Osgiliath. I can't remember the names of them though. They're a couple of like Melibeth the seer and like this king dude. They're pretty rare. I was looking them up online.
Are they the ancient dudes?
No.
Okay.
No. These are newer guys. God, I wish I could remember the name for you. But yeah, they're pretty rare. I got like I got like 10 of them. No, I have 16 because I have enough to make two little things
nice.
Of them or however many.
Do you have any War of the Ring bases?
I do. I casted those years ago. I have the mold. So
excellent.
Yes,
I'll need some of those from you.
But yeah, so because when they stopped making those and I was still playing War of the Ring, I was like, fuck this. I'm just going to make my own. This is way too expensive.
Because I found there's MDF ones, but the site I really wanted to get the MDF ones from is in the UK.
Yeah.
So I'll get my anus obliterated via shipping.
Shipping's not terrible right now, but...
That is wood.
Yeah, I guess.
It's going to be heavy.
It's going to be heavy.
Because, you know, at that point, because I'm importing it, there's no way I would buy a few at a time. I would just be like, I'm buying enough for seven armies.
I fucking wish Games Workshop, like, since they did re-up their contract for Lord of the Rings, I'm sure they got a deal on it. There's no way they would have re-upped that contract if they didn't get a deal on it.
I mean, there's probably some sort of incentive for it, or it's not as much as everyone thinks it is.
Yeah, well, I mean, now probably because... The Lord of the Rings and Hobbit have gone down in not popularity, but they've gone at least in public notoriety or whatever. Mm-hmm. I really wish
everything's been fucking absolutely obliterated by fucking Star Wars.
Yeah, I really wish they would do like a Shadows of Mordor style game.
That'd be fucking sweet.
That'd be so cool, especially like if they did orcs that kind of look like the orcs that they designed for the game. Because those orcs, like, in replaying the game, I'm just like, these orcs are the best designed orcs I've ever seen.
They've got and some of them have that sweet, like, tower helmet.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
With the flames on the top.
Yeah, Shadow of Mordor is fucking awesome.
It's the...
Like, if you haven't played... If you're a fan of Lord of the Rings and you haven't played that game, you should play it. It's really, really good.
I mean, and it would be great, you know, like, ghouls and Karagoths and what's the big one called?
I can't remember.
The Grougs. Like a big fucking like Rancor Graug, and the dwarfs are cool. The elves are cool. Like fucking do warbands of that shit, and I would buy that. Like, and I've been playing Saga a little bit too. Is that if you designed a Lord of the Rings game around the Saga rules, and not you would of course use the Saga rules, but like that size of a game, that's like perfect. 100%. That's what I would want to play. I would play that hands down. That'd be great. But there's nothing like that, and my big problem with Saga is like, I really, really hate 90% of Viking figures out there. They're just dudes in potato sacks. That's all they fucking are.
Are they in potato sacks?
Oh, yes, we're the Irish. We got the potato sacks on. Oh, so what's the difference between the Angles and the Saxons?
We got brown potato sacks. They got gray potato sacks.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, oh, this guy's got like... He's got like a gray sack outfit on. Yeah, this guy's got a blue sack outfit on. I've heard
really good things about the Saga rule set. And I was like, oh, maybe that'll be cool. But when I looked at it, I was like, oh, it's historical. Who gives a shit? And because I thought when I heard Saga, I thought of that one game that uses the really weird sided dice. It's like Seventh Seal or...
Oh, no. 7TV.
No.
7TV? Are you sure it's not 7TV?
No, I don't think it is. I can't remember the name. Fuck. It's a warbands game that uses, like, there's like D30s are a dice you can roll in it. It's really weird.
Frostgrave uses D20s.
I thought that was it's not just D30s. It's a bunch of dice. Like,
oh, yeah.
Your guys rolled it like D&D style. Like, so there's D4s and shit like that. I can't remember what the fuck it's called, but I thought that game's minis was for Saga. And I was like, oh, maybe that's a cool fantasy game. And I looked and I was like, oh, that's not the game at all I thought it was. Maybe some listener will point me out and tell me which game uses the weird ass.
First of all, I'm going to lay out some problems with Saga right now, aside from just the historical part.
I've never played it. Yeah. You know.
Okay, here's the problems with it. Number one, the rules are fucking unbelievably expensive for what you're paying for what you're getting. Like, the rule book is literally 30 pages long, and it costs $60 to get the rule set.
Wow, that's workshop pricing.
It's unbelievable. And when I say it's 30 pages long, about 2 pages of that is actual rules. It's ridiculous. It's the most ridiculous. And then it has,
it's
like,
not the most, because Age of Sigmar is the most. $75 for 4 pages of rules.
Yeah. And then every other expansion rule set comes out for it, $30, and it's like you get rules for like 3 warbands. The reason why it's expensive is it comes with the boards, and the boards tell you what the dice do. So, like, okay, I'm playing the Vikings. The Viking board is like a nice piece of laminated board that you put down, and it's got like the dice combinations. Like, when you roll the dice, you know, you could put them into the combination.
Okay.
Just so you could see. But you don't even fucking need that. You really don't. You could just, oh, it's a sheet of paper from my book. I could just photocopy it and use this. It doesn't right. have to be that expensive. And so I'm like, that's the reason why that game is super pirated, is because the rules are unbelievably expensive for it. Two, as I said, I don't want to paint guys in sackcloths. I don't – it's boring. It's stupid looking. I want to paint some, like, cool-ass looking Vikings with, like, fucking – it doesn't have to be super historical. We can make this so it's not historical. You don't have to play the historical Yams Vikings or whatever. You could just fucking give them horn helmets, give them fucking giant axes and crazy beards and, like, skulls and stuff hanging all over them. Give me some Games Workshop style Vikings or some shit like that, so I have something interesting to paint for a change. And the third thing is that it's kind of just like everything is exactly the same. It's like, oh, I'm playing the Normans and they're different from the Vikings because these guys get horsies.
That was my biggest problem with Warhammer Ancients. Like, Warhammer Ancients was far more balanced than Warhammer 6th edition
yeah.
because there was no fear and there was no immune psychology and that kind of stuff. But it also, in exchange for that balance, you played the same armies against the same armies.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like,
oh, I get to be the Romans. Oh, fun. I get to paint 5,000 fucking legionnaires.
Yeah, I don't like the...
Boring.
Yeah, it takes out, you know, you don't... There can be diversity, but it doesn't have to be, like, broken. You know, yeah. like, that was Warhammer. That was always Warhammer's problem. It's like, they would come up with things that were cooler, unique, and then they would break it. And yeah. it's like, oh, okay, so it's actually, you know, it was busted. And then to sell more of the next version of the book, they'd have to make something better or some aspect better. You know, like the Storm of Chaos sold buckets of ducats because every army list in there was broke. And if you had an army that could, like, if you had a dwarf army and you had a bunch of slayers, that book encouraged you to buy a fuck ton more slayers and make a slayer list. Or,
especially because they were all metals.
Right. And then, like, Lothlorien Seaguard, like, same difference. Like you should play a Seaguard army because it's just better than the High Elves.
So you just get bow bits and stick them on the back of my spearmen? Okay.
Well, the plastic High Elves could always be built as Seaguard, from what I understand.
Because
instead of you build them.
Well,
they
had their giant ham hands.
Right, because so. you build them with the ham hand, the fist as big as their head,
spear,
the shield, and then you just put the bowman thing on the back.
Yeah,
and those are your Seaguard. But the Seaguard were way better than the regular Elf army because you get a whole round of shooting before the game fucking starts. Insane. And then, of course, the Chaos Demons.
Yeah,
the Chaos Demons were. I still stand that the Chaos Demons were meant to sell bits. Like, the entire reason they came up with the Chaos Demons army was so people would buy bits. Because at the time they did that list, the only things available for the demons were Plaguebearer Infantry, Khorne Bloodletter Infantry, Slaanesh Demonette Infantry, Pink Horrors, Flamers, and then...
Screamers.
Screamers, and then Greater Demons.
Yeah, you're right.
There was nothing else at the time.
There was the Seekers too. The Seekers of Slaanesh.
I think they came out with it. The ones riding.
No,
the,
they didn't.
The tongue things.
No, the horsies. The pinky horsies.
The demonettes,
no,
the weird
horses. Those came out beforehand. Because that was the first army I did when I started working for Workshop.
And then of course then there was the various Chaos Lords on mounts like the Booby Snake, etc. And then
the Booby Snake.
But like most of the army were not available. Like Juggernauts, were like the old Juggernauts.
You had to buy the bits. Yeah,
you had to buy the bits,
which I did.
the riders, the plague riders, like there was no, you had to figure out how to build that on your own.
Well, they had the old beast, the old plague beast.
Right, but there was no rider.
There was no riders. You had to like convert it.
Yeah,
up
you had to figure
everything.
It out on your own. And you know, then the chariots, like the Tzeentch chariots and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You had to build that. Most people built those out of disc riders and like screamers and shit. Like that was a conversion heavy army.
And you were able to do that though because they had bits.
Right,
because
they had bits.
And you could order bits. But anyway, actually, a game that I was looking into that I kind of like is called Lion Rampant. It's one of the Osprey rule sets, which are. not, it's not very well written, but it's a kind of a neat little idea. It's very similar to Saga without the wonky dice rule.
Okay.
The wonky dice rule is really what sells it for Saga, because it's something different. This is a little, this takes that out of it. It's Saga without that. But they just released a fantasy version of it called Dragon Rampant.
Ooh.
Which I kind of like the rule set for. It's small. It's like playing a game of fantasy with Lord of the Rings size armies.
Warbands?
Like, yeah, like a warband instead. But it's bigger than a warband. It's bigger than just like 10 models. It's probably close to like 30 models. But that's all you have to have for your army. And it looks pretty cool. I'm interested in giving that a try.
Have you played Wrath of Kings yet?
I have not played Wrath of Kings yet. I really want to.
You should. It's good. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I have played it, but I haven't like gotten like regular into it.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for some more of the there's still some more releases that I need, like the characters and stuff.
I need some characters.
I need the characters.
Well, the new rules expansion came out, right?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not yet. The one that's going to have like the Bretonians, the Lizardmen.
Oh, that's Kings of War.
Oh, Wrath of Kings. No, I have not played. Okay.
Wrath of Kings is the circle base.
Okay, yes, I have played that one, but no, I have
big
not.
Big thigh, yeah, girls.
I have not played too much of that either, but I have my army. Yes.
Yeah.
With all that, I have my vampires.
Yeah, that's the next thing I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish the Wrath of Kings stuff.
Wrath of Kings.
I've been derelict in my hobby duties.
You derelict. But they're doing an expansion for that, aren't they? Like another rule book?
Not at the moment. They still need to complete all, they still need to release all the models from the core rules.
That's cool. Well, so, whatever. So do we have any other news to talk about? I know that there's a Kickstarter for 3D printed terrain that looks pretty cool. Let me see if I can pull it up. Here we go.
Is that modular castle thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks pretty sick.
Yeah, Winterdale, a medieval fantasy citadel collection for 28mm. I believe it's 3D printed. Yeah, it's kind of expensive though.
Do you buy the models or do you buy the actual 3D printed objects?
I think you... that could be customized.
Because if it's buying the 3D printed objects, then that's, you know, okay. But if it's the models, then that's on, it's probably
okay.
A
yeah,
price.
Yeah. You get the each model is delivered as a .stl file pack to be downloaded and printed on your home 3D printer.
There you go.
Yeah. So I mean, it's actually pretty nice. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. If you have a 3D printer at home, do this, because why not? All these look pretty cool. I think for $75 you get all of the stuff. All the files.
For an unlimited castle?
Castle, yeah.
Seems like a good deal.
But I mean, how many people really need a castle? Like a full castle?
I mean, I would love one. That'd be sweet. If it's modular enough, you can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're 3D printing it, so you can be like, I think you can, I mean, I know nothing about 3D printing, but I do know CAD, and if you can modify that, I mean, no CAD. Nobody call me out on that. Like, I'm aware of what CAD does.
I was gonna say, like, you're aware of CAD.
Yeah. But you should be able to scale up or scale down that model as well. So if you play Warmaster, you can just reduce the size and print out smaller castles.
Ooh.
I'd be like, bam, Warmaster, done.
Warmaster, I have a Warmaster castle.
So like, I mean, I think that's the future by far. Like, that 3D printing is definitely the future of the hobby. Like, it's going to go that way.
Especially with stuff like terrain.
I still think that there's going to be a market. There's always going to be a market for games that are, you buy it, you get the content in the game. That's not going away.
Yeah.
Until 3D printers are as ubiquitous as cell phones. That's the only time you would need to worry about, like, that kind of game going away.
At that point, we have to worry about a lot of other businesses going away,
right,
as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's that. But, you know, I think it's the future. And I think the ability to sell a printable game they killed, quote unquote, the RPG industry. PDFs.
Yeah.
So this will kill, quote unquote, the miniatures industry. But like that being said, the RPG market is a smaller share, but with D&D 5th edition launching, there's been a huge boom in the RPG like market share.
Yeah.
Gigantic boom, because the product is high quality, and I've sold everyone has sold a fuck ton of the D&D books. a fuck ton. And I guarantee those are the most pirated books. But you know what? It doesn't matter. We're still selling a fuck ton of them.
Yeah, because so, people want to have the book.
Right. So if you're producing a rule set, so this is the advantage here. Instead of being, you know, being super doom and gloom, the advantage from a producer side, like say me, like I want to design, like I've been dicking around trying to design my own games for years. Like I've been, you know, working on different systems, things like that. And then like, as almost always, I will work on something and I'll be like, oh, this is a brilliant fucking idea. And then I'll start Googling to see if anyone else came up with those mechanics, and sure enough, it's just parallel thinking. And I'm like, fuck, someone's already got me, beat me to the punch. The Shadows of the Demon Lord, that RPG we talked about a little while, and Kevin's really excited about, has a system that I'd done before, which is a D20 with penalty dice or bonus dice. So you roll a D20 and like 3D6, and you subtract or add that to your D20 roll. Yeah. Like the mechanics are a little different, but like one of my game system design was a penalty dice versus dice you're rolling. That was a system I had done. So there's a lot of parallel thought. So you have to be careful. But so from someone who wants to design a game, if I was designing a minis game, so say I'm going to do customizable mech game, there's a huge advantage for me to design my own 3D files, and then when I offer the game, offer the 3D files for sale, offer the game complete for sale. You know, you can actually create it as a double dip, because I can sell.
You can never double dip.
So I can create, you know, I can sell the game in box, all components, for, you know, $120, whatever. And then I can sell the game, the 3D models, for like $60. So it's the same content, except I'm expending the resources to create one, and I'm expending my time to create the other.
You're absolutely right. And it's, yeah, I think in the past when we talked about 3D printing, I think we said, like, I think I'm still going to stay on, but it's going to be about 10 years before 3D printing gets there. It's getting closer. Yeah. But it's still about 10 years off before.
Estimating time with technology is really...
It's hard.
Hard, because there's always the chance, like, you know, a microchip level breakthrough. Like, that happens, suddenly there's...
The singularity? Are we getting to the singularity, Steve? Steve, are we going to have the singularity?
Pretty far from that.
Joe, we must kill all humans. No, come on.
Come on.
All right.
All right, we must give all humans beer.
Yay! Killing brain cells.
World peace.
All right.
No, there's a good reason to like invest and look into 3D printing. Yeah. Like, you should do it. If you're interested in game design, like that's what I want to, like, if I can get the people the talent involved, like I want to do a 3D game that's just completely digital.
Penis armies?
It's not penis armies.
Well, then I don't want any part of it.
The idea is mechs. Because mechs are easier to sculpt, because they're, you know, straight lines, everything's angular, so they should work a little bit better.
Can we do it like Battletech, where they have faces on them?
No.
Oh. No.
We can, they should also look a little bit better on average when you 3D print them, because it's still kind of not difficult, but like you need to have a really, really, really high-end 3D printer.
I think you should
do rounded surfaces nowadays.
I think you should have, you should do it where every model, every mech has like 40 pieces that you have to put together so that you could paint it like that. I think that's because that worked for Robotech, right? Everyone loved that.
Robotech wasn't in that many pieces.
Robotech.
Oh, wait. I thought Battletech. Robotech was in a million pieces.
That's what I said. Like piece should be like.
Sorry, there's a lot of techs.
Battletech, Robotech,
Cthulhu Tech.
Is there a Cthulhu Tech?
Yeah, there is.
Tell me more.
No, the base idea so here's the idea for the minis game. Just like quick elevator pitch. So you have your chassis.
Yeah.
You have leg pairs, and then you have different. You have right arm, left arm. So you everything costs points. You build the robot you want, and each of the pieces would be designed with a. The arms would have like a little recess where you could just. They'll be just a standardized magnet size, and you just stick the magnet.
But won't
in there.
Everything just be optimal? Won't you just go for optimal customization?
Well then. Yes, everyone will go for optimal customization. So you have to try and make the key to avoiding optimal customization is to create options that are incredibly narrow. So if you want like a grenade launcher, you need to make the grenade launcher the best absolute choice for being 15 spaces away or greater. And then you need to make the sniper pulsar the absolute best choice for being 10 spaces or closer. So the more narrow you make, the more narrowly good you make each choice, the less chance you have of someone breaking it and going like, all of your guns should be heavy machine guns. Because if you create a thing that's just terrible beyond, before a certain distance, or something that's terrible after a certain distance, people will actually go like, oh, well, I actually want to mix and match that. Like, that's the key when you're doing game design. Because otherwise, yeah, everyone will just gravitate towards what is, quote unquote, the strongest.
I'm just going to take Kylo Ren so he can stop your pulsar blast.
No, he's going to cry about it and flail his lightsaber around like
a
bitch.
That was the best. I love that scene.
Dude, he's such a fucking bitch. I loved it. That guy.
I don't know. I like the idea of crying.
He's awful.
Of him getting all upset and then like having like an autistic fit.
He's awful. Like, you know what would have made it better? If he didn't take off his fucking helmet so fast. Damn it.
Yeah. I mean, I argue about that choice, but I think now that he's
bad.
Well, whatever. All right, so
villains were poop butts. So
what,
we have,
what about? I'm done talking about your game.
The villains were poop butts.
Yeah.
No, there's a fuck. I had a thing. You ruined it.
Sorry. What about Hux? I am a space Nazi.
Ronald. Yeah. Percy Weasley was okay, I guess. He channeled the 70s British Star Wars bad guy very well.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, he did that very well.
What about Snoke?
Snoke was terrible.
You didn't like him?
I hated him. Yet another mysterious douche who fucking holograms and looks weird. Although, the motion capture has gotten so good, and they've done it so often, I could just tell it was Andy Serkis, because it looked like Gollum. Like, when he did, like, some of his eyebrow motions, or, like, when his, like, mouth would move in a certain way, I'm like, oh, that's just Andy Serkis.
Like, I noticed that, too.
That was totally weird. I was like, oh, so it's a giant Gollum.
It was Gollum. The mouth. The mouth really.
Yeah, giant Gollum. Yeah, when he did, like, when he purses his lips, like,
yeah,
like he looked like, but I think Snoke looks stupid. I'm fucking sick of that. But I don't know why every Sith Lord has to be some decrepit weirdo.
My buddy Nick was like, you know, I bet he's gonna be Darth Plagueis. He said something like,
yeah, everyone thinks it's Darth Plagueis
or something that, like that. I'm
that
like,
doesn't make any fucking sense.
Well, I said, I go, well, who's Darth Plagueis? And he's like, well, he's this guy from this cartoon. I'm like, that doesn't count. None of that counts. It's all gone. It doesn't count. Well, no, it's in the Star Wars. No, it doesn't count. It's all gone.
Yeah, like, did you know that a cross-guard lightsaber was already a thing?
No, I don't care. It's not a thing.
Well, no, here's the thing. This is the best part about the other cross-guard lightsaber. The previous cross-guard lightsabers were cool, actually. This one is not, because the previous crossguard lightsabers, there, take your hand out, hold it like you're holding a lightsaber. The crossguard was one saber beam that came out from in front of where your hand is on the lightsaber and went straight up a bit. So it literally guarded your fingers
from
another lightsaber. Yeah. So you would, if there was only one extra beam, and it's so you could like push, a saber with your fist, basically.
Yeah.
So that's what the original design of the crossguard was. And I was like, oh, that actually kind of makes sense. And they were favored by some fucking like two, like there was a specific Jedi that like favored it.
Steve, I don't know what you're talking about. All the expanded universe has been nuked.
Which is fine. As I was saying, I'm not trying to argue that it should still exist, but I think it's funny that they took an already pretty well thought out version of it and made it stupid.
Well, duh. But anyway, all right, so we're done for today. Go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve on the Planet on the Game Classy Facebook page.
Game Classy Podcast.
Game Classy Podcast. Where Steve will talk about butts, dicks, and how your favorite game sucks.
True. If it's popular, I hate it.
If it's popular, I hate it.
That's right.
If it's popular, I probably like it, in all honesty. Like Secret Hitler. We did our New Year's party. We did a 1960s Mad Men style themed, and we did like 60s party games. It was a lot of fun. But I'm thinking next time I'm gonna do it like a 40s style game where we're all in Europe hiding from the Nazis. And we'll do Secret Hitler as a party game.
I've heard Secret Hitler is actually one of the best hidden roles games ever.
Yeah.
So if you're into the hidden roles games like Mafia or Werewolf, then it seems like a natural thought.
Well, the it's over, so now you're just gonna have to wait for it to come out, and
it'll be available on Amazon from the creators.
It'll be cheap too. It'll be quick. I'm not cheap. It'll be quick. Like our Facebook page. Listen to us on iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. The best way you could help out the podcast. You could also listen to us on the YouTube page, the Game Classy YouTube page. We put up this and Comic Book Logic from our sister podcast on the Planet Arbitrary feed. We talk about, you know, comic book movies. Next week, we're actually going to do our 2016 preview, where we kind of go over the six upcoming comic book movies and kind of give it a... should you watch it? Should you wait for Netflix? Should you...
So one of them will be Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange with Benedict Cumberbatch.
He better fucking sound exactly like fucking goddamn Vincent Price.
Did you watch the Sherlock from last night?
Oh, was it the that it was it on?
Yeah,
no, I haven't.
I would check it out. I really enjoyed it. It was way better than I thought it would be.
I have a huge boner for the BBC Sherlock, so
yeah,
it's real good. Moriarty's sing song voice is still my favorite thing. Sherlock.
you'll enjoy this one though. I think so, because I watched it last night. And I was like, this is really good.
It looked awesome. I fucking love Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes is one of my absolute favorite. Like, I loved Sherlock Holmes when I was younger. I still love Sherlock Holmes. Like. Ah, so cool. Like, I mean, he's awesome. He's a fucking, like, scrawny ass detective who, like, is an awesome boxer. Like,
I've always kind of
fisticuffs.
I've always preferred Hercule Poirot, but that's just me.
Poirot, isn't that the bumbling French guy?
He is Belgian, sir.
Oh, sorry.
That's actually a joke from the show. It's like, not the show, but the books. Everyone always confuses him as French. He's like, I am Belgian!
But he's like comedic, right?
Not really. I mean, he's just like he's a fat guy who really likes food, but he also solves mysteries. So it's pretty amusing.
I mean, that
though.
Sounds pretty sweet. He sounds like a sweet team up with Holmes.
Yeah, it's. I enjoy him because I enjoy the, I really like the TV show with David Suchet, and I would... And if you've seen Hateful Eight, Hateful Eight is just an Agatha Christie mystery. It's seriously, have you seen it yet?
I have not. I want to.
It's a locked door mystery room. It's a locked door mystery. It's very much in the style of like Miss Marple's or Hugo Poirot, where it's like they're all in one room and the detective solves the mystery through talking, and it's pretty interesting to watch.
That's
I'm not going to spoil it. And it's like people were talking about like. Oh, Morricone is doing his first, Western soundtrack in however many years.
Oh yeah, how was the soundtrack?
It was very good. But the thing was, it wasn't a Western soundtrack. It was like Clue. It was the soundtrack to Clue.
Nice.
And it was just
lots
like
of strings and stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You'll listen to it. You'll be like, this sounds like the soundtrack from Clue. And it's like, yeah, it very very much so. But
I like that movie Clue. It was silly.
It was silly.
I like silly things.
And also you can listen to on the Planet Arbitrary feed. You can listen to Play On with Steve talking about Fallout 4 for an hour and a half.
There's gonna be we're doing the Arby's, I believe, this week.
Yes, you guys are doing your best of
on Sunday. The best ofs.
Including, so it's going to be Steve talking about Fallout 4 for 3 hours.
Well, we have to pick our game of the year.
Which is going to be Fallout 4.
It's probably going to be Fallout 4. I mean, the game's real good.
So, anyway, you could also, finally, you could go to our Reddit page, our game classy. Steve, do we have anything else?
I don't know. We should do an RPG cast at some point.
RPG cast?
Yeah, where we just talk
video
about
games?
No, not for video games. Like, one of our Game Classy episodes, instead of talking about anything contemporary, we should just talk about RPGs.
Okay, I don't care about that. Yeah. That sounds fun to me. All right, so Steve, until next time.
Happy New Year, and may all your hits be crits.
Game Classy.